Will you pray? And now come, Lord Jesus, to speak new life to us. May we hear it, and may we respond. Amen. We have now entered the season for remembering. Now our minds fill up with scenes from the past. Cherished old traditions are repeated now. The family as it used to be is recalled. Children who have now grown up. Other people in our lives who now have died. We pull out the old ornaments and the old songs and carols we've loved so long surround us now. Behind all of that is the long ago story of a stable, a manger, a baby, his mother. No time of year is more enchanted by the past or more haunted by it. And this is as it should be. And yet for us, this season is less about gazing on the past than it is about looking forward to the future, longing for it and living toward God's future in the world and in us. Advent means arrival. Christ's coming to the world, and though come Christmas, we'll all be gazing into the manger and pulling out the stops to celebrate his birth, right now we're thinking of how the world still waits. How it rages and suffers, how broken and helpless we feel, and how nothing is needed so much as the coming of Christ once more to our world, to us. He said he would return to heal our madness and make things right. And isn't this the shining promise that Scripture keeps setting above the future, that God's kingdom will come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? So it's the oldest surviving prayer that has remained from the earliest Christian church. Did you know this? This is the earliest prayer we have from first generation Christians. Come, Lord Jesus. And it's the first cry of Advent, longing for the new coming of Christ. And to be honest, most of us aren't too keen on some of that. One reason being that much of the language about it is just bizarre to our ears and the kind of words that appeal to people who are nuts. And there is Jesus. He says, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and the roaring of the seas, and the Son of Man will come in a cloud with power and great glory. What do we do with words like that? Which at very least are bewildering, not to mention the fact that when he spoke them, he said, I tell you truly, this generation will not pass away before all these things have taken place, which they haven't. So what is it supposed to mean? Clearly, the language has some symbolism in it. The business about signs in the sun, moon, stars, and sea. Think back on the book of Genesis chapter 1 and notice that these are the most primal elements of creation, the deep oceans and the stars. They're the first elements established by God to give order to the universe for life to exist and flourish. The apocalyptic language of those elements going wild is a symbol of the disappearance of order in the world all around us. God's world being undone. Look around us. Aren't we there? And through the ages, this has happened over and over in differing shapes and differing degrees. The world falls apart. Madness takes over. 2,000 years ago, when the empire and religion conspired to murder Jesus, it was the end of the world. And Christ returned. Through the centuries, the world has undergone unthinkable cruelties and calamities, and in the worst of it, didn't Christ keep returning to bring redemption and healing, transformation to individuals and communities? Hasn't his power reappeared in many ways and times to redeem the world, especially where there was injustice and suffering to bring new liberations? The fervent prayer towards a Christ-filled future, "Come, Lord Jesus," has often already been answered. When Jesus talks about his future coming, the striking thing is how consistently he ties it to a time of calamity. The primal elements all in upheaval, creation's order undone, the world under threat. The Messiah's return is for a world falling apart. Which is why he says, with the gleam of fire in his eyes, "When you see these things taking place, raise your heads." Which is precisely the opposite position we'd be inclined to take. I'd say when your world falls apart, duck. Or shake your fist, or curl up in a fetal position. He says, no, when calamity comes and madness is prevailing and the future looks grim, raise your head. I am coming to this world and to you, and I am bringing transformation. I recently saw where a friend of mine had written, "I am so glad to be living in these apocalyptic times." She went on to explain that the word apocalypse means revelation, a time when the ultimate truth is revealed. And so it is in our time, a revelation of things as they really deeply are, with signs everywhere, if you look for them, of the living Christ in new ways. We are to look for Christ. In his words, be alert, be ready. For his new appearing in our own personal lives, and especially at the point where our lives seem to be falling apart. Where pain or fear overtake us, or disappointment, regret, and failure are tormenting us, or relationships are threatened, or loved ones in trouble, and hope dims, and strength is gone. He says, now raise your head. Christ comes again to you with infinite tenderness, forgiveness, freedom, outreaching gladness, and strength enough. So you in your need and I in my need can pray for ourselves, come Lord Jesus, and we can do so with our heads raised. We can pray it also for our world in this awful present moment. The order of the world as we thought we knew it is undone. Injustices once reigned in are now let loose. Lies fill the air as thick as locusts. Climate irreversibly damaged with a shrug. Seekers of asylum, children caged or tear gassed. Inequalities widening, society soaked. We are soaked in fear and hate, the poison of hopelessness. And he says, raise your heads. Raise them in expectancy of the presence and the power of Christ to bring transformation in new ways. Raise your heads to see signs of it already breaking through all over the place, wherever there is love and truth being lived. Raise your heads also to see what is your part to do. Prepare the way of the Lord. For the sake of the world's present need, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, and we do so with our heads raised. And in faith, we do not forget the promise that in mystery beyond our knowing and in time beyond our reckoning, the hand of God, with righteousness and perfect justice and boundless mercy, will bring the world as we had known it to an end, to its completion, its consummation, and in the kind of revealing we had never known before, there will be the Beloved, the Christ, by the power of whose love all will be mended, all made new, and all brought into oneness at last. Be alert, he said. Live toward it, he said. And so for now, for our own present need, and for the world's present need, and for the healing of all creation on that final day, will you pray that ancient prayer of the first church, come Lord Jesus? Will you offer the words as your prayer and do it now aloud, all together? And louder. Come, Lord Jesus. And with all your heart as your deepest prayer, louder still. Come, Lord Jesus. Let it be so. Amen.